Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2007 Home Education Conference held at Southern Virginia University.
Welcome to the 2007 annual LDS EHE Home Education Conference here at Southern Virginia University. My name is Dan Hunter, and my topic today is the 13 prophetic truths of America. I hope that you can hear my voice. I might have to use the mic, I might not, but we've got a lot of information to cover and very little time to get it done in. So if you're going to be taking notes, take notes quickly, because I want to get to the end of this, which is, I guess you could say, is the punchline. But there's a couple of interesting comments that a couple of prophets have said in regards to this topic that I need to get to, but we need to understand the beginning part first. So first of all, this talk is something that President Benson gave in the 1960s. That was recorded and is published in the book God, Family, and Country, Our Three Great Loyalties. It's a book that's out of print. And when Misty Foxley and the committee asked me to speak on this subject, I had to look up the information. Please announce. I'm supposed to announce there will be no membership meeting at 6:15 tonight. Okay. The poet and author James Russell Lloyd said, or Lowell said, "Our American Republic will endure only as long as the ideas of the men who founded it continue dominant." And President John Adams stated, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Now, with those two comments to precede what I'm going to say, I have printed on that handout for you the 13 statements made by President Benson in this talk that I'm presenting to you here. In the blank space underneath there, I want you to write whatever notes that you can in the time period that we've got to be able to cover this information. But first of all, I'd like to give you a quote by President Benson in his book. What I find very interesting in this particular quote is toward the middle. "Communism is turning out to be the earthly image of the plan which Satan presented in the pre-existence." Now, you don't hear a whole lot about communism anymore since the Soviet Union collapsed, but there are still billions of people under communistic rule in China. And the only difference between communism and socialism is the method by which it is brought about. Communism is revolutionary. Socialism is by the people voting for it and accepting it peacefully. The United States is becoming a socialistic country. And the further down the path we go, the further we will lose our freedoms and become more of the kind of society that Satan wants us to be, which is denial of rights and your freedoms are taken away. The first quote, or the first prophetic truth. I'd like to give you a scripture on each one of these as we go through it. The scriptural reference on this one is 2 Nephi 2, 6 and 8. And in that scripture, Lehi is talking. He says, "Wherefore I, Lehi, prophesy according to the workings of the Spirit which is in me, that there shall none come into this land, save they shall be brought by the hand of the Lord." Now, as you watch what happens with these prophecies being fulfilled and how the Lord works in the hands of the individuals who came over, you'll see a complete fulfillment in that. Number two, your scripture reference. 1 Nephi 13:12. We're talking about the time when finally it was the time for this country, this land, to be discovered, quote-unquote. And so the Lord sent Columbus here. The prophecy in 1 Nephi states, among other things here, "And I beheld the Spirit of God, that it came down and wrought upon the man." Of course, the man is Columbus. I don't know how many of you have ever been wrought upon by God, but I would suggest that all of you have been, because you're homeschoolers. And if you look from the logical point of view of being a homeschooler, you're nuts. Where in the world are you going to find the time to take over the role of teaching your children, along with everything else that we're supposed to be doing and moving the kingdom of God forward? But God has wrought upon you to do what you're doing. And so we do it. Columbus was wrought upon. And here is from his journal. "There is no question that the inspiration was from the Holy Spirit, because he comforted me." The words preceding that: "It was the Lord who put into my mind the fact that it would be possible to sail from here to the Indies. All who heard my project rejected it with laughter, ridiculing me." How many of you have been laughed at and ridiculed for being a homeschool parent, much less being a Mormon? "For the execution of the journey to the Indies, I did not make use of intelligence," because he didn't know that we existed over here, that the continent existed, "nor mathematics, nor maps." Now, can you imagine no map directing where you're going to go, but you will sail west and you will find land? That is faith. And Columbus was wrought upon by God and knew, I must go west and I will find land. Although intellectually, mathematically, and by maps, it didn't exist. But he did it anyway. Number three, your scripture. 1 Nephi 13, 13 through 16. Now, the prophets talk about others being sent over here. "And they went forth out of the captivity upon the many waters." I'm just paraphrasing or quoting parts of the scripture here. "And I beheld the wrath of God, that it was upon the seed of my brethren. And they were scattered before the Gentiles and were smitten." I'm just completing my Native American history book. And it is amazing how the Native Americans were so scattered and destroyed when the Gentiles came here in complete fulfillment of this prophecy. And then it states that the power of the Lord was with them. Those who came over, the Lord was with them. Just like the Lord is with you to fulfill this rotting upon that he has done to you as being a homeschooler. Number four, your scripture reference, 1 Nephi 13, 17 to 19. Now we're talking about the American Revolution. The Lord told the prophets 2,300 years before the revolution ever happened who would win. In any history studies that you have done, we weren't supposed to win that war. We're a bunch of ragtag American farmers over here taking upon the world's greatest military power. England at that time was a world empire. The sun never set upon the British Empire because of its vast expanse. Yet here comes a bunch of ragtag Americans that take on the British army and in 8 years defeat them in war. The only way that could happen was that God helped the Americans achieve what they were supposed to do. And George Washington makes an interesting statement when he bids farewell to the troops after the peace treaty had been signed. " I like particularly here the singular interpositions of providence in our feeble condition were such as could scarcely escape the attention of the most unobserving. It was little short of a standing miracle. It just amazes me how it was accomplished. I mean, here at Valley Forge, we're walking around in the snow without shoes, without coats, without blankets. Our troops are bleeding. You can see the marks in the snow. You've all seen the portrait of Washington kneeling by his horse, praying to God for the delivery of America. That was the darkest hour the United States had, was at Valley Forge. Yet he knew what his mission and responsibilities were. And the founding fathers often called for days of prayer and thanksgiving to express thanks to the Lord for all the various victories, as few as there were, as the war was being fought. We lost more battles than we won. Yet we won the key battle at Yorktown, which gave us our liberty and established us as a country. Number 5. Scripture reference, 2 Nephi 10, 10 to 13. But behold, this land, saith God, shall be a land of thine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land. Everybody came over here, everybody that came over here was from European countries. European countries were ruled by kings. Yet never once has there been a king established on the Western Hemisphere. Now it's amazing to me that the Lord would give out a prophecy like that, knowing that these people would come from a king-ruled society, that over here there would never be a king. Which shows the discontent that the people had when they would come over here, that they knew kingship was not the road to liberty. But there had to be something else. Number 6. Now we start getting a little bit closer to our time here. We're talking about the Constitution itself. Your reference, DNC 101-80. The Lord makes a statement of the prophet Joseph Smith. I established the Constitution of this land by the hands of wise men whom I raised up under this very purpose. As far as I know, we are the only church upon the face of the earth that recognizes that the Constitution is a divine document, that the founding fathers were inspired to write the words that they did. If the world could only understand the purpose of what the Constitution was written for, it would become obvious that it was an inspired document. And that quote is from David O. McKay. About halfway down in this quote. Well, let me hear. If we would make the world better, let us foster a keener appreciation of the freedom and liberty guaranteed by the government of the United States as framed by the founders of this nation. Here again, self-proclaimed progressives cry that such old-time adherence is out of date. Here comes the key part. But there are some fundamental principles of this republic which, like eternal truths, never get out of date and which are applicable at all times to liberty-loving peoples. Most of you, as you're doing your home study work, teach your children by principle. The prophet Joseph Smith taught us by principle. What did he even say about principle? I teach them correct principles and then let them govern themselves. The purpose of a principle is it teaches you the correct way to think and behave under any circumstance. If you understand God's principle, then you know that it doesn't matter what the world might throw at you, you know that that is wrong, because by principle, this is how it should be. That way, when you understand principle, you don't have to dictate every law to all the people. They know how to behave correctly. The Lord even says, I don't command men in all things, but let them be involved in many good things. The Lord hasn't given you necessarily specific things that you need to do in your life, but you have received principles by which you are to abide by, to fulfill the mission the Lord gave you to do here upon the earth. And then he lets life's experiences teach you what you need to do. Well, David O. McKay is stating the same thing here. The principles in the Constitution are such that it guarantees freedom to all liberty-loving people. Now, let me tell you this. We've got a boatload of people in this country who are not liberty-loving people anymore. And that will become evident as we go along. Number 7. Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, 77 through 79. Now we get into some of the specifics of the Constitution. I find it quite interesting what the Lord had to say about the Constitution, specifically when it comes to principle. Talking about the Constitution, according to the laws and constitution of the people, which I have suffered to be established and should be maintained, why? For the rights and protection of all flesh. Not just Americans. All flesh the Constitution was written for their rights and protection. According to the moral agency which I have given unto them. What is moral agency? We commonly call it free agency. Your right to choose whether to be obedient or not. That right is maintained in the Constitution, and the Lord wants all people to be able to have that right. Isn't that the plan of Jehovah? What is Lucifer's plan? Force. Those who want to do away with the Constitution, do away with your right to choose, and will tell you what you will do. We call that socialism. One other thing on that scripture. It makes man accountable for his own sins in the day of judgment. Because you were not compelled by law to be obedient, but you chose to be. And based upon our obedience and disobedience, our choice here upon this earth will be how we are judged. The Constitution guarantees by law that that will continue. And the Lord wants that privilege to all mankind. Therefore, this Constitution that we are supposed to uphold and maintain is so that all people have that banner to live under. There's a lot of the world that doesn't live under constitutional law. And there's a long way to go to be able to share and teach that knowledge to the rest of the world. Number 8. I think it's interesting here. He says, God placed a mandate upon his people to befriend and defend the constitutional laws of the land and see the rights and privileges of all mankind are protected. Your scripture, DNC 88, 5 to 10. 5 through 10. Speaking again of the Constitution, he says, it's supporting the principle of freedom in maintaining rights and privileges belonging to all mankind. Therefore, befriending that law, which is constitutional law of the land, and whatsoever is more or less than this cometh of evil. And then he says, nevertheless, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you are mourning today because of the condition and situation that our country finds itself in? You hear it every day. The people are mourning because we are ruled by wickedness. President J. Reuben Clark makes this comment. A key part of this quote, he says here, under his plan, our allegiance, and the only allegiance we owe as citizens or inhabitants of the United States, runs to our inspired Constitution, which God himself set up. So runs the oath of office of those who participate in government. Yet how would government officials want us to behave? We must be loyal to them. If we are loyal to them, then we have become a dictatorship or a kingship, or we are socialistic in nature. But if you are loyal to the Constitution, you are then loyal to principle and obedient to principle. To try and change our understanding, take the Constitution away, then you've got to give the people something else that they have to follow by. And that's exactly what they've done. The Constitution has been set aside. We never voted it out. We never voted against it. It's just not upheld anymore because man thinks he has his own way of doing it. He knows best. Trusting in the arm of flesh, the Lord said, don't ever trust in the arm of flesh. But that's exactly what man wants you to do. Trust in me. I know best. I'm sorry. That doesn't work that way. This principle of allegiance to the Constitution is basic to our freedom, President Clark says. It is one of the great principles that distinguishes this land of liberty from other countries. Number 9, your scripture, Ether 2:12. A great warning to the people of this land. Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, who is Jesus Christ. Now again, without raising hands, how are you doing in obedience to the law, to the God of the land? Are you being obedient to Jesus Christ, or do you think you know what's best? I love this quote by Alexis de Tocqueville. He was a French diplomat who came over in 1831 to visit America to find out why we were so successful in our experiment of constitutional law. And as he went back to France after spending several years here, he then wrote a book about America, why it was so successful. And this is one of the key quotes that he gives. I sought for the greatness and genius of America in her commodious harbors and her ample rivers, and it was not there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, and it was not there. In her rich mines and her vast world commerce, and it was not there. Not until I went to the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because she is good, and if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. America's got some problems because we are not aflame with righteousness as a people. How is the Sabbath day observed? It is certainly not in America's churches. How are you observing the Sabbath day and worshiping God on His day? By the way, that quote page, if you're writing down quotes, it's page 679, not 327. I was working on this at 4 o'clock in the morning. I guess I was a little bit tired. Number 10, your scripture, Ether 8:25. Concerning the United States, the Lord revealed to his prophets that its greatest threat would be a vast, worldwide, secret combination which would not only threaten the United States, but also seek to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries. Now, if any of you are familiar with the teachings in the Book of Mormon and the secret combinations that are there, that's what caused the downfall of the Nephite nation, were secret combinations. And this country is full of secret combinations. I don't care whether you want to look at Congress or your city government, your county government, your school boards. How many meetings are done in private behind closed doors? How many secret little agreements have been made and reached with different individuals and organizations? Once in a while, those things come out and we all raise Cain about that's not right, that's not fair. Those are secret combinations. And we're swimming in secret combinations. And the warning is, don't let the secret combinations overtake you. That's part of the wickedness, and that's part of why we mourn. We hear about those things and we shake our heads and say, where are you people coming from, behaving and thinking that way? That's not right. The Constitution doesn't allow that. Although we just set the Constitution aside because we know best. I got, I think it's four quotes on this that I do need to share with you. So bear with me. I tried to eliminate any of these, but it doesn't work. All of them have something very key. This one by David O. McKay. Fundamental in the belief and promulgation of communism is the denial of the existence of God and the desire to substitute for the belief confidence in the state. Isn't that exactly what they want us to try and do right now in the United States through socialism? The state knows best. We will raise you cradle to grave. You cannot think for yourself because you do not know best. Yet the principles of the Constitution are, you are accountable to God. You take God and the Constitution away, now who are you accountable to? The state. The arm of flesh. Another quote by David O. McKay. We are grieved when we see or hear men and women, some of whom even profess membership in the church, looking with favor upon the pernicious teachings of these groups, especially communism. When he talks about these groups, it's not just communism. There are others that don't call themselves communists. Free agency, for example, is a divine gift more precious than peace, more to be desired even than life. Any nation, any organized group of individuals that would deprive man of this heritage should be denounced by all liberty-loving persons. How many members of the church get sucked in to these wrong and evil ways? How many of us in this room have been on the fringes thinking, well, that makes sense. And you step back and say, oh, no, that's not right. Because President McKay says this here. These credulous or gullible, misguided persons claim to be advocates of peace and accuse those who oppose them as advocates of war. So all of a sudden, you're now accused of being the bad guy. And if you don't know what the principles are that you're supposed to be standing on, you're going to be left without a rebuttal to make. That's why we must befriend the law of the land, so we can say, because this is how it's supposed to be. I told you, I got to move right along with this to get it all in here. Another quote by President McKay. It is amazing some of the stuff he said. And you think as a Taft Benson was on the cutting edge of comments about the Founding Fathers and the Constitution. David O. McKay, 20, 30 years before, was very much into this. There is danger even more menacing than the threat of invasion by a foreign foe. It is the unpatriotic activities and underhanded scheming of disloyal groups and organizations within our own borders. But the secret, seditious scheming of an enemy within our own ranks, hypocritically professing loyalty to the government and at the same time plotting against it, is more difficult to deal with. It is the enemy from within that is most menacing, especially when it breathes to disintegrate our established form of government. Like everybody's got an agenda to take away our rights and freedoms. We are in the last days. The last battles are taking place between good and evil. Which side of the fence are we going to be on? Then to bring this even closer to home, another quote by the First Presidency of the Church. Communism is not a political party nor a political plan under the Constitution. It is a system of government that is opposite of our constitutional government. And it would be necessary to destroy our government before communism could be set up in the United States. But now go further down. Communism being thus hostile to loyal American citizenship and incompatible with true church membership. Of necessity, no loyal American citizen and no faithful church member can be a communist. And a little bit further on. And the welfare of our church imperatively demand that communism shall have no place in America. But the socialistic views that are out there could threaten the foundation of the church. I'll give you one example. And that's now that the Supreme Court has recognized gay marriages. What do you do as a church when you say gay marriage is immoral and wrong? When you have removed the constitutional laws by which our country is founded, that which are based upon the Ten Commandments, which can no longer be taught in school, which we can't have plaques up anymore to remind us of the divine law. Now law is established solely upon the current whims and the current attitude of society. And if society says, it's okay to be gay married, you know, they can do what they want to do, then that will become society's law based upon the arm of flesh. So when an organization comes along and says, I'm sorry, we will not uphold that law or that principle, that gay marriage, then that particular organization is said to be intolerant and discriminatory. That is illegal. Therefore, the welfare of the church is threatened. Can you see what the First Presidency was saying? The welfare of our church imperatively demand that communism shall have no place in America. Number 11. Famous quote by us Latter-day Saints that we love to hear about and talk about all the time. Joseph Smith made the comment there, this people will step forth and save it from the threatened destruction. President Benson says, it is my conviction that the elders of Israel, widely spread over the nation, will at that crucial time successfully rally the righteous of our country and provide the necessary balance of strength to save the institutions of constitutional government. The closest quote that I've been able to find of the prophet Joseph Smith, because it's not written anywhere other than we have the word of somebody else who said Joseph Smith said this, is the following. Orson Hyde is our closest source we feel to the comment. That the time would come when the Constitution and the country would be in danger of an overthrow. And he said, if the Constitution be saved at all, it will be by the elders of this church. Now, moms and dads, first to you, brethren, who are elders of the church? As an ordained office in the priesthood, elders of the church who are in this room, who is going to help save the Constitution? You. Do you know anything about it? Moms, wives, you're married to an elder of Israel. You're to be his support and right-hand person. How are you in helping him support the Constitution? Moms and dads, together, you have chosen to homeschool. Therefore, who is going to teach your children, future elders of Israel and wives of elders of Israel, what the Constitution stands for if you don't know what it is yourself? I commend you for the opportunities you've given to yourself and accepted to be a homeschool parent. At the same time, you've got an awesome responsibility to do. It falls upon you to teach your children what the principles of righteousness are. And it's going to take both of you. Hopefully you don't have to do it by yourself. I know there are some homeschool parents that they're winging it by themselves. But when you take upon the responsibility to teach your children divine law, it's an everyday, all day, forever of your life responsibility that you cannot be rid of until you're taken home. These prophetic truths fall upon you and I to share with our children, so that we who are living right now, who are elders of Israel and spouses of elders of Israel, and the ones that are up and coming, are ready for this day to help save the Constitution. As far as I'm concerned, personally, the Constitution already hangs by a thread. When the leadership of the nation sets the Constitution aside and is no longer upholding the laws of the land, there's your chief police officer, and those who are supposed to establish the laws no longer do it by constitutional law. You have anarchy, or you got dictatorship. Number 12. Your scripture, 1 Nephi 14, 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass that if the Gentiles shall hearken unto the Lamb of God in that day, that he shall manifest himself unto them in word, and also in power, in very deed, unto the taking away of their stumbling blocks. I think that's a wonderful promise to you and I, that if we're going to be a righteous nation and we depend upon the Lord, he will step in and help us at the right and proper time. Number 13. On the other hand, if the Gentiles on this land reject the word of God and conspire to overthrow liberty and the Constitution, then their doom is fixed, and they shall be cut off from among my people who are of the covenant. And your scripture? 3 Nephi 21, 11, 14, and 21. Joseph Fielding Smith said, "If they continue to disregard the warning voice of the Lord, deny the Redeemer, turn from his gospel unto fables and false theories, and rebel against all that he has through his servants in this day declared for the salvation of man, the judgments of the Lord will come upon this land, and this nation will not be saved. We will not be spared from war, from famine, from pestilence, and finally from destruction as a nation." What's happened to us in the last, say, 10 years? We're flirting with these things. There's more and more disasters and catastrophes happening to America, much less the rest of the world. "I therefore call upon the people, not only the Latter-day Saints, but to all throughout the whole land, to repent of their sins and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer and the God of this land." Now that I've depressed you all, and you're all ready to throw up your arms and say, "Well, what can I do now?" I'd like to share with you the answers that the prophets have given to us. President McKay, "We have cause for apprehension. I refer to the efforts to deprive man of his free agency to steal from the individual his liberty. The two most important documents affecting the destiny of America are the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States. Both these immortal papers relate primarily to the freedom of the individual. Founded upon that principle of free enterprise, fostered by these documents, the United States of America in less than two centuries has achieved a greatness that exceeds that of any other country in the world. Our national standards are threatened. Add to this the increasing tendency to abandon ideals that constitute the foundation of the American home, and you will agree with me that there is some cause for apprehension. first thing that you've got to do, what does he say right there at the end? Home. You must strengthen your home. You must work together as one, husbands and wives. You can't work independent. You must work together as one. What is the purpose of marriage? That ye no more are twain, but one. In the way of a solution, I first want to give to you what the responsibility is in regards to the church in general. Our quote, our source is David O. McKay. What are we to do? Preach. Belief in God, the Eternal Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. How are we going to do that? Missionaries. Where do those come from? Your homes. How are you doing in raising up missionaries? A few years ago, right after Elder Bednar was ordained an apostle, his comments were, they should be missionaries every day of their life. You don't prepare for a mission when you turn 18, whatever. You prepare for your mission the day you were born. And it was amazing to me when I was bishop how many times I would have to try and root out the evil that were in these kids' lives, starting when I would first start their interviews when they were 12 years old, to try and get them on a course to be missionaries. Proclaim the fundamental, that fundamental in this gospel plan is the sacredness of the individual. Preach that the plan involves the belief that governments were instituted of God for the benefit of man. Man was not born for the benefit of the state. Preach the sacredness of family ties. Proclaim the necessity of honesty and loyalty, doing an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Proclaim that the Redeemer and Savior of mankind stands at the head of this church that bears his name, that he guides and inspires those who are authorized to represent him here on earth. The responsibility of declaring this plan of life is the way of this way of life, this plan of salvation rests upon the entire membership of the church, but most particularly upon those who have been ordained to the priesthood and who have been called as leaders and servants of the people. Now we're back to the priesthood. Now, individually. And we're back to Ezra Taft Benson. Most important of all, each member of the priesthood should set his own house in order. This should include regular family prayer, remembering especially our government leaders. And I could ask on each one of these, how are you doing with this? Getting out of debt. 3, seeing that each member of the family understands the importance of keeping the commandments. 4, seeing that the truth is shared with members of the family, with neighbors and with associates. 5, seeing that each member is performing his duties in the priesthood, in the auxiliary organizations, in the temple, and in the civic life of the community. 6, seeing that every wage earner in the home is a full tithe payer and fulfilling other obligations in financial support of the kingdom. And 7, providing 1 year supply of essentials. And then his concluding comment. In doing these things, a member of the church is not only making himself an opponent of the adversary, but a proponent of the Lord. So where do you stand? There's the plan from the prophets of God of what we can do to stem the tide. It becomes our responsibility if we want our country is to behave accordingly to the divine principles upon which the documents were written as those men were inspired by the Lord. I commend you for choosing the road to be a homeschooler. We pulled all five of our children out of homeschool on the same day in 1993 when we lived in Oregon because we did not like the socialistic teachings that they were receiving in school and the other things about the founding fathers that they were not receiving. And so we went from not homeschooling to homeschooling five kids at the same time. It's a little daunting, a little bit overwhelming. But you've got to remember, first of all, is you just take things as you are ready to take them. But there is no one in the world more prepared to teach your children than you, because they came from you. God gave them to you. There is no one more qualified to teach your child than you. Therefore, please don't underestimate your own abilities. And don't throw God out with the bathwater when you say, I can't do this. You can't do this. But with his help, you can. If you take God out of the picture, you're left to kick against the pricks, just like the prophet said. But if you have the Lord with you, you will succeed. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. That doesn't mean you're going to have troubled teens and frustrations and anxieties and sleepless nights. But that does mean that you have an opportunity to teach your children truth. Have fun being a homeschooler. Enjoy learning along with your kids. Don't think that you've got to know everything before you can teach your children. We made many a trip to the library, and we studied the same books along with the kids. We'd go on the field trips and learn the same things as the kids were learning. And it's fun to learn with your children. We weren't taught these things when we were younger. It's not expected that you would know. Because chances are you weren't a homeschooled child yourself. So what experience do you have to fall back on? None. But we have a loving Heavenly Father and a Redeemer who knows what they have laid out for a plan for you and I that want you and I to succeed. You have before you the 13 prophetic truths of America. We know what the final chapter will be. It's already been written. The Lord will prevail. But don't forget that getting to that point, he still hung on the cross and died. So that 3 days later, when the rest of the world thought it was all over, he rose from the dead and then sat upon the right hand of his Father. At that bleakest moment, 3 days later, he superseded everything. The same thing is there for you and I. We just don't see it yet because we live by faith. If the Lord laid it all out before us, we wouldn't be able to live by faith, and that would be violation of the principle of divine law to be able to return to our Father in heaven. So enjoy living by faith, as hard as it might be. Thank you.
LDS Home Educators is a non-profit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.